My name is Jason. I'm the executive pastor here. I get the awesome opportunity to share with you this evening. So we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 1. If you want to turn there, if you want to click there, follow along. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation tonight. We're going to be skipping around the Bible a little bit, so you can either follow along or take some notes and jot them down. But I'm believing God's going to do something good. I got the sleeves rolled up. Like, I hope y'all are ready for this, okay? Right? Oh, man, yes. Hey, there we go. A couple of you. Yeah. All right. Now, I was thinking about Christmas time. And as I was writing this message, I was trying to sit back and think of my 18 years that I grew up at home. I was trying to remember Christmas presents that I received. So for all of you parents that are about to go out and spend a lot of money on Christmas this Christmas season, let me encourage you or discourage you. I don't know which. You figure that one out. Out of 18 years worth of Christmas presents, I can remember three. Out of 18 years. So maybe I've got a bad memory and maybe you got one that's a lot better than me. But when I think back to those 18 years, there are only three Christmas presents that come to my mind in those first 18 years. One of those was when I was a kid and my grandmother made all of us. She sewed us this stuffed animal. And I love that thing. I kept it forever until I got married. And then I decided it was finally time to quit sleeping with it. But after that, no, just kidding. Kind of, not really, but... The second present that I remember, for all of you people that grew up in the 80s, there was this amazing thing called the Nintendo that came out. Yes. And I can remember one Christmas wanting the Nintendo. And my mom said, if that's what you want, you and your brother, that's all you're going to get for Christmas. And I was like, if Santa can make that happen, that is all I want for Christmas. And so I remember getting that thing and spending hours that night playing Super Mario Brother and being amazed that this gun that could shoot ducks on the TV screen and actually kill them. Like, it was just incredible to me. I can remember that one. And then the third present that I can remember was in high school. I wanted a pair of Doc Martens because those things were cool to have. At least they were at one time when I was in high school way back when. And so I could not wait to get myself a pair of Doc Martens for Christmas. And so all of those Christmas gifts that my parents bought me, that my grandparents bought me, that my aunt and uncle, everybody, you think about all those over those years, the thousands of dollars that were probably spent, all of the time that was spent shopping for those things, and I can remember three of them. And so if you had to think back onto your childhood, if you had to think about, I was even quizzing my kids, like my son is 17 and my daughter is 14, and even quizzing them, like it was pretty revealing to me, like even the fact of the ones that they honestly could not remember and the few that actually stuck out in their mind. But you know, when I think about Christmas time, to me, what stands out that I can remember in all of my Christmases, I can remember the things that I look forward to, was the time that I spent with people. Like, those stick out in my mind in every Christmas. Like, I remember at Christmas time, I loved decorating our Christmas tree with my mother. And we always had that, this is going to be another turn back in time and reveal my age, but you know that silver stuff that you used to, like, throw up on the Christmas tree? You know, that was me. Like, I wanted to cover the tree in that stuff by the time I was done. Like, it was everywhere on that Christmas tree. But I remember doing that with Mom to get ready for Christmas time. I can remember going over to my grandma's, and she would bake gingerbread men. And I can remember how much fun that was, helping grandma bake those things, decorate those things. And she would let us eat icing and eat some of the cookies while we were making them. But honestly, it was just spending time with grandma in that moment. I can remember going to my grandma and grandpa's house. They had a small farmhouse, lived out in the country. And I remember every Christmas we would show up and it was 217 degrees in their house. And grandpa would have the fireplace roaring with like 125 people in there. And I remember thinking, if I do not make heaven, this is what it's going to be like hot and crowded. Like, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, Grandpa. I'm going outside to play. I'm out. But that was just the way it was. I can remember cramming as little kids into Grandma and Grandpa's living room and getting our sleeping bags out and all of us grandkids camping out on Christmas Eve night in their living room. And then at some point, I can always remember somebody's parent coming in and threatening us to within an inch of our life that if you do not go to sleep and be quiet, there will be no Christmas tomorrow. Maybe you guys were better kids than me, because this next one is about to be very revealing. Because one Christmas, I don't claim any credit for this idea. It may have been mine, but I still refuse to claim credit for it. My grandmother and grandpa had those electric baseboard heaters, right, to heat the house with, and we had a bucket of crowns. Yeah, all of you, you guys can already see where this is going. And we peeled the paper off those crowns, we broke those crowns in half, and we began to place them in that electric baseboard heater, and the glorious colors that ran out of that heater and down my grandparents' wall was amazing. Until somebody's parent came in and you heard the bell go shh, 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 and you knew, like, it was over with. But the funny thing is, like, I still think it's worth it. Like, I would do it all over again. So kids, don't try that unless you want to whoop it. But it might be worth it. But to me, the thing with Christmas is it's all the time that I spent with those people that I remember most. And this Christmas season, and I've titled this message this because we hear this at Christmas all the time, is this idea of God with us. And the idea and the thought behind what that scripture is has so much more meaning than just this great Christmas story. It's this idea that to God, the most valuable thing that he wants, one of the greatest things of everything that he could have in this world, is the fact that he wants to spend time with us. And that's not even just part of the Christmas narrative, but it is. We have that scripture in Matthew 1, verse 23. Every Christmas time, it may be one of those stories that you hear. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we all hear that, and we think about the Christmas story, but the reality is that is so much more than just the Christmas story. That when we hear that scripture, the first thing that pops into my mind is baby Jesus in one of these manger scenes, right? But it's so much more than baby Jesus, because the reality is Matthew opens with this promise of God being with us, and that baby grew up to be a man who died for our sins, who rose again, and then right before he leaves to go back to heaven, he gives us these words in Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus said this, he says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He opens up Matthew by saying, God with us. And Jesus closes out his time by saying, I am with you always. Like, think about that for just a minute. God's heart is to be with you and to be with us. Not at Christmas time. Not just limited to this season, but the reality is he wants to be with us in every moment of every point in our life. The high moments, the low moments, the good moments, the bad moments, that he wants to walk out in life with us. That salvation is so much more than just this golden ticket of getting out of hell. That promise is so much more than just a baby in a manger 2,000 years ago. That the promise from Jesus is a restoration of his ability to spend time with us. That God's presence to us is his presence with us. And that's the gift that he gave when he said, God with us. He said, my gift that I'm giving to you is salvation, but the reality is that salvation has opened the door for me to be with you at every moment of your life. So parents, when your kids lose their mind, and it does happen, and you don't know what to do, just remember, God is with you. Listen, all you students, where you at? All right, here's your chance too. All right, students. Listen, parents lose their minds sometimes too. Here's your chance to say amen, students. Amen. There's a few of you. Yeah, man. Nobody else in the other service was like brave enough to say that when mom and dad was sitting around. Like, they were afraid there's going to be like a on the back of their head or something. But sometimes as parents, we lose our mind too. And Jesus wants to be with you in those moments when we do. That the reality is there are going to be moments where there's more month than there is money and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, and God is with you. There's going to be moments where it feels like no matter how hard you try, your marriage seems to be unraveling and unfolding and falling apart and you don't know what to do to fix it. And in that moment, God is with you. that you may go to the doctor and you may get a report that is something that you weren't prepared to hear, that you weren't looking forward to, that wasn't the right time to get this news, and I can't believe this is happening to me. And there in that doctor's office, when you're sitting there, God is with you. And it's such an incredible promise that he's given to each one of us, that he wants to go through life with us. And so how do we experience those moments where God is with us? I believe this, that God with us is seen by the overflow of God within us. That sometimes it's hard for us to recognize God at work, but the reality is when we can see God flow out of us, we begin to realize that he's right there with us. That he wants to be so close to us and fill our life up so much with him that no matter what moment we step into, he overflows from inside of us. And so tonight I want to share with you three ways that you can experience God with you. And the first way is this, it's prayer. And I don't want this to be one of those things that seems really complicated. And don't check out on me in this moment, because to me, prayer sometimes is as simple as the conversation that I'm having with you. So many times we try to make prayer like I've got to come up with this right concoction of King James language, right? Oh, most heavenly and glorious Father, thou art with me wherever I goeth. It's like, I mean, if you pray that way, I mean, like, it sounds beautiful, I guess, but I don't even know what to do with that. Like, the reality is so much of our prayer life is nothing more than a conversation, really an ongoing conversation with God, just like I'm having right now. God, in this moment, man, I'm really tired and I just don't know what to do. In this moment, I'm stressed. In this moment, I'm anxious. In this moment, I'm angry. In this moment, I'm hurt. And I just don't know how to deal with this. Can you help me in this moment? That's all prayer is an ongoing conversation with God and inviting him into each moment of our life. And rather than having to face life on your own, prayer is this invitation, an opportunity for us to acknowledge the fact that God is with us in this moment. See, he gives us these promises. Psalm 50, verse 15, there is this promise that comes from the Father that says this, then call on me when you are in trouble. Anybody ever in trouble? Yep, like crayon in the heater's kind of trouble, right? And I will rescue you and you will give me glory. An invitation from God in that moment that if you would call on me, what did he say? I will rescue you. But how did it start? You call on me. So many times we're like, God, where are you at? And God's like, I'm waiting for you to ask me to come into this situation and help you. I know. Oh. Isaiah 43:2 says this. It says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. Like, even in the Old Testament, God is still having these moments where he's trying to tell his people, this is who I am. Like, the New Testament is nothing new about who God is. He's been this way from the very beginning, that he's wanted to be with us, that he wants to spend time with us, to be close to us in those moments. And I think for a lot of us, experiencing God's presence simply begins when we take the time to acknowledge that we need God to step into this moment with us. Call on me, I will come and rescue you. For me lately, this has kind of played out in two ways. There's these two prayers that have been stuck on my heart lately that I feel like God has been challenging me with to pray. And it's helping me to realize in those moments when I want to try to do things in my own power and in my own way that God is working in a much bigger way in my life. And so the first prayer is this, is God, what are you wanting to do in me through this? And the second prayer is just really a flip of a couple words, but it's a totally different prayer. And it's God, what are you wanting to do through me in this? Because the reality is sometimes God allows us into a moment because there's something inside of us that he's wanting to do. That there's something in us that he needs to pull out that doesn't need to be in our life, or maybe there's something that's missing in our life that he's trying to build and put into our life. And the only way it can get there is by allowing us into that moment and God doing something in me through this moment. But as much as we hate this, the reality is you and I aren't the end goal of what's going on here. It's not all about me and it's not all about you. And sometimes God puts us in a place so that he can do something through us to be a blessing to somebody else, to minister to somebody else, to reach out to somebody else, that maybe God has put you there in that moment because there's somebody that only you can reach. And so maybe God is wanting to do something through you in this moment. And instead of seeing everything that's going wrong or nothing that comes together the way you want it to, maybe it's recognizing that God, either what are you doing in me through this, or what are you wanting to do through me in this? And in those moments when I pray those prayers, I suddenly realize God is right there with me. To me, prayer opens the door for God to overflow into my life and into my situation. That's what he meant when he said in Psalm 50:15, call on me, invite me into that moment and I will show you I'm already present and want to do something in you. The second way that God works, I think, and reveals to us that he's with us is through his Holy Spirit. And I know, like, as soon as somebody starts talking about the Holy Spirit, like, everybody's like, it's about to get weird. Okay, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not weird. We make him weird, but he's not weird. Can we get, like, are we all okay with that? Like, you got to help me out a little bit. All right, there you go. All right, we're good. Okay. We make him weird. The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity of the God. He is a man. He is God. He is a person. Not a thing, not an it, not this ghost floating around, but a person of God, a part of who he is. And God has given him to us to be part of God with us. Jesus gave us this incredible promise in John. At John 16:7, Jesus said, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And Jesus backed this up earlier in John 14:16, when he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. The Holy Spirit is who that is, who will never leave you. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. And that means if he'll never leave me, then guess what? You and I are never alone. And guess what that means? That God is with us. That he has placed his Spirit inside of each person who has given their life to Christ. And he wants to walk through this life with you. So much so that Jesus banked on it by putting in his word and said, that Spirit's never going to leave you. That if you'll walk with me, if you'll follow me, if you'll live with me and trust me, he will never leave you. And so many times we shortchange God and we shortchange what he's trying to do here. And we get in the way of what he's up to. Or we try to discredit the work of the Holy Spirit in our life because we're suddenly like, we're not comfortable with what it might be like. But see, the problem is Acts 1:8, he promised us that when the Holy Spirit came into our life, that he would give us power. How many of you need power? I do. I'm just not as strong as I'd like to be. And I need his power at work in me. And when we discredit the work of the Spirit, we are unplugging ourselves from God with us and the power that he has for us. That in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he said that the Holy Spirit would live inside of us and that we would bear fruit of the Spirit. That being close to Jesus and his Spirit would naturally produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Because we need that in us. So often we try to force those things, right? There are people that I just can't love and I'm not good at loving and they're, doggone it, they're just hard to love sometimes. And I can't do it. So Holy Spirit, I need you to help me love this person. And when I'm driving down 105 or I-45, praise the Lord, I need some self-control because I'm about to hurt somebody. That's right. If this traffic don't get moving, like when it comes to a standstill, like I'm telling you, I'm about to turn in like to this big green monster that's going to jump out of this car. Like I need some self-control here, Holy Spirit. But so often we feel it's our job to do the work of the Holy Spirit for us. And so we force and we try and we do all that we can to try to make the Spirit work in our life. I try to love on my own and in my own strength and in my own power, and it just never turns out right. Let me tell you, though, this is maybe a crude analogy to some of you, but it's the greatest analogy that I could think of as I was preparing this. But to try to force the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our life is kind of like a six-month-old baby that's constipated. Like, doggone it, you can tell something needs to happen in their life. They are uncomfortable and it's hurting inside. And no matter how hard they try and no matter what effort they put into it, like, nothing is coming out, right? And people that try to force what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, I mean, that's all you're doing. You can put in all the effort you want. You can try as hard as you want. It can be as uncomfortable as you want it to be, but dadgummit, it's just not gonna work. Because it's not about you, it's about His Spirit working through us. And in that moment, it's recognizing that He promised to put His Spirit in me, and if His Spirit is with me, and I am walking with Him, these things are naturally gonna come out of my life. I'm gonna find power in those moments where I don't have the power. So Holy Spirit, help me. That I'm gonna find love in the moment where I can't love because the Spirit is gonna work through me. And it doesn't have to be this awkward thing, and it doesn't have to be this forced thing. It merely has to be this recognizing that when we acknowledge the presence of the Spirit, in our life, that it opens this door for Him to flow out of our life and into our situation. God's present is His presence to us. And His presence comes through His Holy Spirit. See, I'm trying really hard in my life. One of the things I feel like I'm trying to learn and I've been working on this past year is to learn to hear the Holy Spirit when He's speaking to me. I don't hear this audible voice. It's not like, Jason, this is the Spirit speaking here. It's not like that. Like, I don't know how to describe it. And I think everybody experiences this a little bit differently. For me, there is just this prompting in my heart. Like, I know. Like, I feel like He's speaking to my heart. And I had this moment about a month ago. I was doing some things. I was in the middle of trying to get some stuff done. And I walked by this person, and I felt this prompting in me to stop just a moment and have a conversation with this person. And then I thought about it, and I looked at my phone and thought, oh, man, I got so much to get done, and this and this and this meeting's coming. And so I just kind of, like, kept right on walking past that person because in my mind, I had so much to do and so much to get done, and yeah, that wasn't the end of it. Because then later on that day, that person circled back around and stopped me and said, man, is everything okay between us? I feel like something is off. Have I done something? Is there something going on here? And in that moment, the Spirit spoke to me and said, I told you earlier to stop and have a conversation with them, and you didn't listen to me. And it was in that moment that I realized God is with me. Even when I don't even recognize it, even when I don't even notice it, even in the busyness of my life and in the hustle and bustle of this season and everything we feel like we need to get done, He is there with us, still trying to guide us. He's not left us alone in those moments, but He wants to work in us and through us. See, the third way God reveals Himself to us, that He is God with us, is through His church. And I think we miss out on this one a whole lot. Look around right now at these people that are here on Monday night. Look to your left, look to your right. See all these amazing, smiling faces and realize this, that everybody here is here because of Jesus. That there's nobody here that's any better than anyone else, because if it wasn't for Him, none of us would be sitting here right now. And we are all here for each other. We are all here because He's called us to do this thing called life together. Because I can promise you this, everybody here, everybody that's watching online right now, you are about to experience one of these three things, okay? It's a really encouraging news, trust me. One is either you're about to go through something really hard, or two, you're in the middle of something really hard right now, or three, you've been through something really hard already. I know, right? Merry Christmas. But God has put each one of us here because maybe there is somebody here that's about to go through something really hard right now. And you've been through that hard thing already. And God has put the two of you here because he wants you to help this person over here who's about to go through something hard. Or maybe you are in the middle of something difficult and there's somebody else that's been down that road and he's placed them here so that in the middle of this, he can put somebody around you to help you keep going in the direction that he's called you to go. God works through his church. 1 Corinthians 12:27, he says this. It says, all of you together are Christ's body. All of you what? Together. He didn't say all of you individually. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. See, here's what I think here. I think so often, if you're feeling like, I don't know where God is at in this moment in my life, and he seems to be distant and far from me, maybe it's because you've removed yourself from the body of Christ and you're trying to do it on your own. Maybe you are your own worst enemy at this moment in realizing that God is with you. Because according to scripture, and you can get mad at the scripture all you want to, don't be mad at me, I'm just reading what it says. He said, it's all of you together that are the body of Christ. And we have this Americanized version of Christianity that I can just do it on my own somehow, that I don't need the church, and I don't need people, and I don't need to be a part of it, that it's me and Jesus, man, and I got this. The problem with that is the Bible. Because it says nothing like that at all. Like, I still haven't found that scripture. If you find it, come talk to me. Because everything that I look in the Bible talks about us doing it together as the body of Christ. To pray for one another, to lay hands on the sick, to care for each other, to honor one another. To do those things requires to be with each other. Think about this. This has been going on from the very beginning. You take this thing all the way back to Adam and Eve. Adam was in the garden. And it was Adam, and it was God. And what did God say? It is not good that man is alone. Was Adam alone? No, he had God. Yet even in that moment, God could have left it. Like if it was just good enough for it to be me and God, God could have said, boom, here you go. But God, from the very beginning, has always recognized that he's going to work through his creation and his people to minister and accomplish his glory. And he's never called any of us to be the one-trick wonders or the people that find a way to do it on our own. From the very beginning, he created the people of Israel, his people, not his person, to do the work of his kingdom. And when the church came and Jesus showed up on the scene, Jesus could have done ministry all by himself. He was God. He didn't need anybody. And yet he picked people to go out and do ministry with, together with, not on his own. Listen, I wouldn't have picked the ones that Jesus picked. To be super honest with you, Peter was a mess. Judas, like, I mean, dang, man, that was like a terrible pick. And yet Jesus picked even these people that most of us would never even choose, that wouldn't qualify. I don't think we'd pick any of those guys, honestly, to be pastor in a church today because they wouldn't meet our qualifications. But Jesus said, I will take those people and I will build my kingdom and I will do it through them. That even as he performed miracles, you think about when he fed the 5,000 people, Jesus didn't make like 5,000 Happy Meals just appear. He took a few fish and a few loaves. He broke it up and he gave it to those disciples. And he said, you go give it away. And as they broke, the disciples, not Jesus, as they put their faith in Jesus, looked at this piece of bread and this piece of fish and said, I don't know how this is going to happen, but he said, do it. I'm going to go do it. And as he did it, over 5,000 people, well, 5,000 men, the reality is probably more like 20 or 25,000 people ate lunch that day because he worked through people. And God, through the church family, is the expression to us of God with us. Then when we take the time to minister to each other, when we take the time to minister to those that are hurting, those that are broken, those that are not doing well, you are the expression of God with us to that person who's in need. And so many times we miss the fact that God is with us because we feel like I don't need this place to do it on my own. When we've got so many life groups that meet all around this community that you could go do life together with. When we have so many care groups that can walk with you through some of the deepest hurt and pain in your life with some other people that have been through what you're going through, and they can walk this thing along with you and help you find Christ in the middle of it and find the healing that you're looking for. When we have all kind of groups and classes that meet right here on campus and amazing people that lead them and are a part of them that want to come alongside you and help you realize that you're not on your own, but we together are the body of Christ, and we're going to find a way to get through this together. See, I walked through these health issues for about 3 years in my past, and honestly, they were some of the darkest moments in my life. And all I really wanted to do was be left alone, and yet I knew that was the worst thing for me. And we had this life group that was meeting in our house, and we would do Bible studies, and those things were great, and God did some cool things through the studies, but to be honest with you, what meant the most to me was that small group of people that would just gather around me on those days when I was having bad days, and I did not feel up to it, and I did not feel well, and they would just love on me, and they would just pray for me, and they would just take care of my family. And it was in those moments that I realized God was with me through those people. I had a couple friends in my life at that time that I could call in a moment's notice, and I could say, man, I just need lunch. I just need coffee. It is a bad day. It is a hard day. I just need somebody to talk to. And they would drop everything, and they would meet with me. And in the middle of that moment of having lunch or having coffee, through that person, I saw that God was with me, walking this road out with me. And so for some of you, man, crowds of people are too much. Like, I'm going to be super honest with you. I'm not a crowds person. I'm not at all, like in the slightest. You're like, you're preaching in front of hundreds of people. How can you not? I'm not. Like, you want to go one-on-one and have lunch or have some coffee, man, I will eat the mess out of that all day long. I just love that one-on-one time with people. And for some of you, maybe it's finding a big group. For some of you, maybe it's just finding a few people, but you need to find somebody to do life with so that God can show you that through us, he is with you in this moment. Christmas is one of those times to me that is always funny. We have these gifts that we always give away at Christmas time, right? We wrap them up. We make them look pretty. I have no idea how somebody does this, man. My wife did this, all right? It's amazing. She is incredibly gifted at wrapping presents. If you need somebody to help you wrap presents for a small monetary gift, she will help you wrap your presents too. The closer to Christmas it gets, the more expensive it gets. So, no, I'm just kidding. She doesn't really do that, but maybe for the right price. I mean, I don't even get how you make a bow like that. Like, the best thing I can get is like a scissors and a ribbon that you like pull on and it kind of spirals up. Like, that's as good as it gets for me. I don't even know how you make something like that. But the thing about presents, the thing that's amazing to me is that the value of a present is not what's on the outside. Like, the value of a present isn't the paper and the bow and the box. Like, nobody at Christmas time says, yes, I got a roll of wrapping paper, some tape, and some ribbon, and a box. I mean, I guess if you get excited about that, like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to offend you or anything. Please forgive me. But, like, maybe little kids get excited about the boxes when you pull them out of the toys. But outside of that, the value of the present is what's on the inside when you get it out. And so many times we try to judge the value of a present by the way it feels, right? How many times have you guys grabbed a present and you kind of picked it up and you started to like shake it so you could try to figure out what's inside of it? Like, listen, you don't have to raise your hands and incriminate yourself here. I always thought as a parent, what I really wanted to do is put all of the presents under the tree in empty boxes, and if my kids ever picked it up, like, I just wanted to grab it and throw it in the fireplace and say, that's what you get for shaking it. I know, man, y'all are like, that's kind of mean. I'm like, no, that's just kind of funny, man. I'm telling you. Like, I would make sure the camera was rolling in a moment like that. Teach you to shake a present. But so many times we try to determine the value by the way it feels, but the problem with that is determining the value of a present by the way it feels is terrible. Because I could put enough rocks inside of this box to make it feel heavy, and you could pick it up and think, oh man, but there's nothing in there but rocks. I could take this great big box and I could write a check for $1,000 and put it inside of it, and it would feel like it's empty, but the reality is there's something of great value inside of this box. See where I'm going with this? So many times we determine the value of God's gift to us in his presence by the way we feel. God, you don't feel very close to me in this moment. You feel kind of far away. Man, ever since I've given my life to you, Jesus, things don't get better. They've gotten worse. They've gotten hard. More things fall apart. More bad things continue to happen to me, God. And it doesn't feel like you're right here with me. But the problem is, it's not about what you or I feel. God with us isn't a feeling inside of us. God with us at times is going to be nothing more than the promise that he gave us. That in Matthew 28:20, when he said, I will be with you always to the very end, sometimes all you're going to have is that promise to hold on to, that it's true no matter what I feel in this moment. Then when he says in John 14:16, that I will give you my Holy Spirit and he will never leave you, then that means you have not left me and I'm not alone in this moment. And even though I don't feel you right now, God, I choose to believe that you are with me. Because it's not about how we feel. It's the fact that he's given us his presence. And so many times as Christians, we're kind of like this box. The reality is we can look extremely good on the outside. But on the inside, there's nothing. It's empty. And we can come to church. We can say all the right things. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. We can clap our hands. We can raise our hands. We can write a check and put it in the offering. We can say all the right things to make the package look amazing on the outside, but on the inside, we're empty because we've missed the fact that God is with me. And it's not in how I package it. It's not in the way things look, and it's not in the way things feel. It's the reality that he is with me in every moment of life that I walk through. That he is there walking with us, given to us this promise that he loves us. So much so that he wants to be with us in every moment that we face. Amen. I've heard this song a couple weeks ago, and there's this line in the song, and it's just been stuck inside of my head. There's this line in there that says, it may look like I am surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I mean, there's so often in life where if we could just be real and be honest in this moment, it can feel like I'm surrounded. It can feel like no matter how hard I try, I can't seem to be the kind of parent that I need to be. No matter how hard I try, I can't seem to fix what is broken inside of my marriage. And no matter how hard I try to work and make more money, I can't seem to get ahead and continue to pay the bills that I need to pay. And I can't seem to find a way because now I've gone to the doctor and he's told me I've got this going on and I don't even know what to do. And in so many moments of life, if we're honest, it feels like life has us surrounded. But the promise from God is that I am with you. And so it may feel like I am surrounded, but I am surrounded by you. And that means he's got me covered no matter what's happening around me, that God has you and I surrounded by his presence. And that means if God has me surrounded, then he's got my problems surrounded too, because my God is everywhere. And so there's no problem that's made it around God. God has got your problem covered because he's got you surrounded. that you don't have to face that moment alone, that you don't have to do this thing called life alone, that you don't have to walk through this Christmas season struggling, that you don't have to go into 2019 the same way you were in 2018, because God is with you to walk beside you and lead you where he wants you to go. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I mean, I just feel like there's somebody here tonight, somebody watching online, that you feel all alone, that you mean you don't really do this church thing, you don't really believe this Jesus thing, and you're not even sure how you ended up here tonight or why you're listening to this message, but I do. It's because God's already been with you before you even realized it. And he's brought you here tonight so that you could hear about his love, so that you could hear how much he cares for you, that you don't have to run from God and you don't have to clean yourself up and get it all right, that if you would just do the very thing that you've been running from and run to God, you would find that he's right with you right now. So if you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus, that you've never taken a moment to simply pray that prayer and ask Jesus to be your Savior. But there's something inside of you that's drawing you right now to do that. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up so that we could pray with you and give you a Bible? Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, I have never given my life to Jesus. I've never prayed that prayer. I've never experienced that kind of life, and I want to do that for the first time. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Is there anybody? Can we stand all across this place? I want to do something a little different tonight. And it's Monday night. We can do that, right? How many of you would say that, and there's just something in my life that I need Jesus to step in and help me with? Would you just slip your hand up? Here's what I want to encourage us with in this moment. We're going to get ready to close out service here in a minute. We're going to get ready to open up here in just a moment to these altars. But here's what I feel like we need to do, is to recognize that in this moment, it's not about the way you and I feel. It may feel like your problem has you surrounded right now, but you're surrounded by him. And sometimes we have to declare that truth before we ever feel it, before we ever realize it. We just got to take a moment to declare that truth over our life. And so we're going to sing a song. It's really simple. I promise you, you'll be able to get it and sing along. But can we take just a couple moments? And if that's you and you raised your hand, you said, I mean, Pastor, I need God to step into this moment and this thing with me. As we sing, I want to encourage you, man, just raise your hands and invite Jesus to come in and show you that he's with you in this moment.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Ooh. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And this is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. Ooh, how I fight my battle. And this is how I fight my battles. I often offer up my praise, yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I...
Come on, sing it out, church.
This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. Sing your praise, I sing your praise. This is how I fight my battles. I declare your name over my life, yes. Oh, Lord, this is how I fight my battles. Oh, and this is how I fight my battles. Yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded. Trust you now, Lord. It may look like all is hopeless, Lord, but I'm surrounded by you, Lord. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded by your promises for my good. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by your presence, heavenly.
Man, can we close out, man, and just this moment? If you have a situation that you wanted God to move in, as one last declaration, I just want to encourage you here watching online, can we just lift up our hands? And in just this moment, man, God, I declare over every hand raised, I declare over every hand that's here, that's watching online, God, that we do not have to face life alone, that we do not have to step into these situations alone, Lord God, that anxiety, that stress, that worry, that doubt, fear, depression may feel like they have us surrounded, Lord God, that it may feel like money problems or health issues or family issues have us surrounded, Lord God, but you have us surrounded. surrounded and you have our problems surrounded, Lord. And I just declare that freedom over every life that was here tonight that needs you to move, that needs to know that you're near, that needs to know that you're right in the middle of that moment with them. I pray, God, that you would show up, that you would reveal yourself. I pray that you would heal. I pray that you would restore. I pray that you would open hearts and open minds. I pray that you would deliver and set free. God, I pray that you would help us understand this promise that you are with us, that I am never surrounded, that we are never surrounded by our problems, that we are surrounded by a God who loves us. We are surrounded by a God who fights for us. We are surrounded by a God that is greater than any enemy that we face, and we won't settle for anything less than your ultimate victory in our life. God, I pray that anybody here watching online that would question if you are with them, God, that they would know tonight that you are here, that you are present in their life, and that you are going to be there with them every step of the way, Father. We ask it all in your mighty name. Amen.